I'm assuming everybody's still in fellowship, so we're going to pick right up where we left off, and that is the Doctrine of Rewards, point four. As I indicated before, we wrote this book, and of course the book is a wonderful book, but you've got to put it into your brain. And so as we now have this document in front of us, we're going to be spending a lot of time getting very familiar with the book. So either bring the electronic app with you to class, or the book itself. Because it's good to know passages, and a lot of people memorize verses here and memorize verses there. Far, far better to know the doctrine than the verse. The doctrine than the verse. I know a lot of believers that are great memorizers. They memorize vast areas of the scripture. They don't know what it means. Have no idea. They can't understand it. Paul, for example, was a genius, a super genius. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He memorized the entire Bible as it then existed, which is we call the Old Testament. He could tell you the middle letter of the scroll of Isaiah, but it did him no good. He was an unbeliever. He was a religious person trying to get to heaven on good deeds. That's basically his life. That's why he says, I was the worst sinner that ever lived in his generation. Why? He was the most religious do-gooder around. And therefore, he rejected grace until God, of course, took a 2x4 and hit him upside the head. It's called crisis evangelism. Well, why doesn't Christ do crisis evangelism for every person? Because it will not work. It only works on a human that is on positive volition in their soul to their Creator. If you're on negative volition, won't do any good. So Paul was on positive volition, but he had so much scar tissue on his soul because he was so involved in human good and legalism, it was almost impossible to get through to him any other way. So, point four, there's no human good in heaven. No human good will be allowed into heaven. All believers human good, and believers produce large amounts of it when out of fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. When you sin and you're here in the cosmic system, you're producing human good. When you're here, you're producing divine good. So everything you do outside of this fellowship with God the Holy Spirit is human good. All the good deeds, all the Mother Teresa stuff, all that stuff, meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. But if you give somebody a cup of cold water or a Coke, that's divine good because you're in this bottom circle of filling of the Holy Spirit. So that's basically what it means in a nutshell. There is no human good in heaven. It will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. And it says, at that time, let's see if we've got 1 Corinthians 3:11-15 listed here. Yeah, I think I do. I have it listed, but not in the Doctrine of Rewards. But if you look at 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, it'll tell you right there that all human good is burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Because divine good is called gold, silver, and precious stones, and human good is called wood, hay, and stubble. Let's go to that verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. So if you go to 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, I'm turning there now, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ, starting at verse 11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is the foundation of the church, not Peter. We studied that before, too. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, not Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. The rock is the Petra, is the word. That rock is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. So these are the three, these are the things that you're going to do in your life. You're on that foundation, you're going to build a structure. And you're going to build a structure that has gold, silver, and precious stones in it. But in that structure, you're also going to have wood, hay, and straw. The gold, silver, and precious stones, we can all understand, are good things. These are valuable things. The wood, hay, and straw are not valuable things, very common commodities in the ancient world, same thing today. And then it says, each man's, this is believer's, work will become evident, for the day will show it. What is the day? That's the judgment seat of Christ. When you're standing there in your resurrection body, you're going to be evaluated because it is to be revealed with fire. Now, we know that fire will burn up wood, hay, and straw real quick, but it will not burn up gold, silver, and precious stones. It might melt the gold and the silver, but it's in a liquid form. It's still there. When you put fire to wood, hay, and straw, it's ash. It ain't coming back. In the liquid form of gold and silver, you can make it bring it back to gold or silver, to the solid form. Precious stones, they don't burn up at normal heat. You got a diamond there, you're not going to burn up a diamond. So the wood, hay, and straw will be burned up very quickly. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. Now, the stuff that's going to remain is agathos, which is gold, silver, and precious stones. You will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So there you go. You can't lose your salvation. That's what that means. No matter if you have no gold, silver, and precious stones, which are divine good, all your human good will be destroyed. Remember, Christ didn't die on the cross for your human good. But God is perfect. He will not allow human good into heaven, into eternity. It has to be dealt with. And that human good will be dealt with. It'll be destroyed. All of us will have, as our structure that we build on Jesus Christ, human good. Now, hopefully, people in this ministry will also have gold, silver, and precious stones. And that's rewardable. So, but you're going to have a bonfire. I'm going to have a bonfire with my human good. It'll all be destroyed. It's not going into heaven. So that's the divine good versus human good. And again, human good, I've got in the doctrine of good and evil. Again, this is an advanced Bible doctrine. It's hard to grasp for most people because it's the antithesis of what they're always taught. If I want something, I got to work for it. Got to earn it. Got to deserve it, right? I want that bicycle, got to go out and work for it. That's not God. For salvation, you can't work for it. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. Impossible. And to get Bible doctrine in your brain, you can't work for it. You can't impress God with how many good deeds you do. That's not Bible doctrine. It's not rewardable. It's wood, hay, and stubble. It'll all, or straw, it'll all be burned up. Most believers, as we noted in our 8 R's, they're saved. And that's what the verse says. You yourself will be saved, but that's about it. You're in heaven, but you're singed. You've got a resurrection body. You're guaranteed that. But that's it. And eternity is a long, long, long time. Your life on this earth is a drop in the bucket. So what are your priorities? Do you want to do what God wants you to do and glorify God? How do I do that? Learn Bible doctrine. You mean I don't glorify God by doing all the good deeds and stuff? No. You glorify yourself. You glorify other humans. You get approbation lust. That's not what God asks you to do. He wants you to represent him in the devil's world. Who's the ruler of the world? The devil. So all the human good you do, you're advancing Satan. You're not advancing God. But see, they think they are. That's the great irony. All these do-gooders and crusaders, they think they're doing what God wants them to do. Every single church, every single university, they always stress, you must do good. Where do you think that's coming from? It's coming from the genius of Satan himself. That's not what you must do. As a believer, first of all, as a human, you must believe in Christ. And second, as a believer, you must learn the mind of Christ. Jesus himself, when he was on this earth, he didn't do all that human good nonsense. He could have healed every human on the planet. He could have had the movement to save, or movement to get rid of slavery, or the movement to do this, or to save Mother Earth, or whatever. He didn't do all that nonsense. What did he do? He taught Bible class every day to his disciples. What was in the Bible? What was the content? The mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. That's what he did. That's what you're supposed to do. So if you say, I'm going to follow in Jesus' foot, what would Jesus do? Jesus tell you to shut the hell up and sit down in Bible class. You heard those things. What would Jesus do in this situation? He wouldn't be in that situation. He'd be teaching a Bible class somewhere. And so therefore, you would be sitting there listening to it. And I've already heard these, believe you heard these people. If I was just alive 2,000 years ago, I'd be there with Jesus every single time. You're a liar. You wouldn't be there every single time. Because you don't go to Bible class every single time now. Why would you be there? You wouldn't. You have no interest in it. The only reason you would say you would be with him because you want to maybe share some of the fame that you thought was going to come your way because he's doing all these miracles, and the crowds were big. Most of the crowds were there, the vast majority, because they were impressed by the miracles. They were not impressed by Bible doctrine coming out of his mouth. They rejected the gospel that he gave them many times, and the believers rejected Bible doctrine. They wanted nothing to do with it. They crowded around him because he was a celebrity, and he did miracles, and they wanted him to get rid of the Romans. They had their own agenda, not God's agenda. But see, Jesus didn't come to reform the world. He came to save the world. Now, the second time, at the second coming, he's coming with a sword. Now, the rapture is not the second coming. The second coming occurs at the end. The rapture is here, 7 years, and then you have the second coming. That's dispensational theology. On the chart, in time, we're right here somewhere. We can either be here, or maybe we're right near the end of the church age. I don't know. We're in the New Testament period. The next event will be the rapture. The second coming occurs here, and he will be coming back to kill. Yeah, the second coming, he comes in on a war horse. We studied those verses. It says his garments are dipped in blood. His eyes are fire red, hair snow white, and a double-edged sword comes out of his mouth to kill. Let's see, a lot of believers, they don't like that. Ooh. Yeah, they don't like Bible doctrine because it offends their view of the world. They'd rather have the joy, 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 in mi corazón, all this silliness. They don't want to learn about God, the true God. They make their own God up. It's called idolatry. They just make up the God what they think God should be. They imagine what God should be like, and that's the God I'm going to try to please. Now, logically, you better find out who the God is in the Bible and do what that God wants you to do. Because if you got what you deserve, Lamentations chapter 3, you'd be incinerated immediately. And same here. All those would be big clumps of ash. But we're dependent on the grace of God. And now that you're a believer, you're under the maximum love of God. God loves you with a maximum love, and he wants you to reach maturity so he can give you rewards and not be a loser and have everything you did on this earth burned up. Everything. Because you didn't do what God told you to do. And then the faithfulness, point five, faithfulness to getting to maturity is the key. The key to temporal and eternal rewards is the believer's consistency and faithfulness to Bible doctrine during your lifetime. And that's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, stand firm. Stand firm. Don't give up. Keep going. Hold your ground when you reach maturity. Many believers reach maturity and they give up. They just start coasting. Or they reach some level of maturity and then you just, that's it. I'm gone. I'm out. The cares of life have got them now. I got a family now. I got a job now. I got to do this. And Bible doctrine gets pushed way, way back here. It's not their number one priority. It's not even number three or number four. Not at all. Oh, they might start going to another church, but they don't go there to learn Bible doctrine. They go there for business contacts, social contacts, whatever it is. They don't go to learn anything because most churches, they can't teach you anything because they don't know anything. Well, they can teach you how to feel good, and they can do all sorts of acrobats, and they have massive amounts of people in some of these churches. And it's the blind leading the blind, and they all fall into the ditch. And then I got lots of verses. You can read those verses. The Hebrews 11:6 is one of my favorites. And without faith, that word is pistis, which is Bible doctrine, on page 563, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God without having Bible doctrine in your soul. Can't do it. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's you. If you seek Bible doctrine, you'll get it, and you will be rewarded. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. That's your key, pistos. The key to the Christian way of life is just faithfulness. Faithfulness to Bible doctrine. Learn a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little bit the next day. You might say, well, how can I learn today, tomorrow, the next day? You don't hold Bible class every day. We used to hold it, I think, five times a week back in the day. But we have now accumulated a lot of Bible lessons on our website. You can go to Bible class every day. You have no excuse. Just download the website. Alice will give you the information if you want it. You can listen every day in your car instead of listening to that crappy music we have in our today's culture. How about plugging that thing in the old radio? Listen to that while you're driving, because you're captured. You got to go from point A to point B, and it's dead time. Why not make use of that time? Because when that time's gone, it'll come back. You got a road trip for a couple hours. You got a couple hours of Bible class right there. And that's how you grow. It's the water of the world, the word. And you're a plant. You got to water yourself. But most people, they just listen to meaningless music as they spend an hour in their car driving around, and you just lost an hour out of your life. There's only so much time on your game clock. You just pissed off an hour or whatever it is. I find that very useful. In fact, that's what I did when I was learning Bible doctrine. The person I learned from was a genius in the original languages. I learned through, off-site learning. I couldn't go to Baraka Church every day. I was in the military. But I listened to, at that time, they had little cassette tapes they put out. You could order them, you'd get them, no charge for anything. I'd listen to those every day. Stick them in the car and listen to them at night, wherever it was. Take notes, and you'll get there. Now, being saved, yeah, that takes 10 seconds. Hear the gospel, believe it. Getting here, you ain't doing that in 10 seconds. That takes time. It takes your commitment to stand firm, to learn Bible doctrine, and to move forward. And it's up to you. You can either say, yes, I will, or no, I won't. It's up to you. Point six, eternal security secured. No born-again believer can ever lose his salvation. However, the loser believer, what is a loser believer? It doesn't mean you can lose your salvation. It means you refuse to learn Bible doctrine. You're a loser. You're a casualty. Can lose divine rewards in time and in eternity. While all believers have eternal security, if the negative volition believer chooses not to learn Bible doctrine, he is walking in the darkness of the cosmic systems and will be blocked from receiving the tailored rewards that God set out for him. See infra 8 and 40 things. Point 7, God's will. God's will, God desires the highest and the best for all believers. God doesn't desire you to be a loser. God desires you to be a winner believer, reach maturity. As proof, in eternity past, God the Father deposited tailored rewards for each individual believer, that's you, with your name on it, in a divine escrow account set up in heaven. Additionally, God provides equal opportunity for each believer to get his rewards once the believer successfully fulfills the set conditions of release from the escrow account. And that is, of course, advancing to spiritual maturity. Tragically, most believers fail to do so, and their fantastic rewards remain on deposit for all eternity as a memorial to the grace of God. So that's a couple of verses there. You can read those on your own. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 6. We'll just hit that real quick. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, that's believers, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Imagine that. God knew about you before the foundation of the world. That we would be holy. God knew that you would want to be saved. He got you the gospel. And holiness, of course, is hagios. You're separated out from the world, and you're now in God's family. So every believer is holy and blameless before him. Now, before him, the word blameless means that you will be evaluated and rewarded. The believers that will be ashamed will be those believers that didn't learn Bible doctrine. At the judgment seat of Christ, they'll be ashamed. And then it said, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intent of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. What does this mean? That's point eight. I break it down for you in point eight. There are many other verses that magnify this concept. So we have what we have in the heavenly. God's blessed you with every blessing in the heavenly. Okay, on the board I've drawn a box, and I've run a line down through the box. On the left side of the box, I got the word T, which stands for time. That's phase two of your life. Phase one is when you're saved. Phase two is your time of this earth from Y to Z. Phase three is eternity. Positionally, you're in eternity, but experientially, you're in time right now. So God in this heavenly, before the foundation of the world, you weren't alive then at the foundation of the world. Neither was I. He set up an escrow account in the heavenlies with your name on it. And he has two categories, blessings. There's blessings for time in that escrow account, and there's blessings for eternity in that escrow account. God is the grantor. So point eight, there's three parties in this escrow account, three distinct parties. And he did this before the foundation of the world. The grantor is God the Father. He placed all these tailored blessings in here, in time and eternity. The grantee is you. You're supposed to get this stuff as a believer. Now, this is not salvation. You're already saved. Because remember, he knew who would be saved. And only for those believers that are saved does he set up this bank account in eternity past with your name on it. He said, I know JoJo is going to be saved. Therefore, I'm setting up this bank account with all these rewards that they can get. So he's the grantor. He pours it in to the account. You're the grantee. You're supposed to get it. Ah, but you've got to fulfill the conditions of the escrow or you don't get it. Now, I know we got law students in here, but not everybody's a law student, so I'll use another analogy, like the will. Aunt Judy left you $15 million in the will. So it's there. Aunt Judy's the grantor. The will is the escrow account. You're the grantee. You're supposed to get it. Ah, but she's got a caveat. You read the will, and Aunt Judy says, but you only get the money if you graduate from a university somewhere in the South, and you do it in 3.5 years. If you don't, then the money goes to my cats. So you got to do something to get it. Same thing as a mature believer. To get these rewards, you got to do something, or you don't get squat. You're still saved. You'll be in heaven, but you don't get these things. Who's the escrow officer? In the will, you have someone that's executor. They oversee. They make sure that you did that 3.5 years in the university, at a Southern university. That's the caveat. If you don't do it, the clock strikes 12, you don't get nothing. And my responsibility as the escrow officer, as the executor, all goes to the cats. And that's what Jesus Christ is. He's the escrow officer assigned to release the rewards from the escrow account to the believer in this life and also for the eternal state of the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, we already studied, Jesus Christ sits at the judgment seat of Christ to evaluate you for rewards. You either get them or you don't get them. And that's the eternal rewards here. But you know, you can get rewards right now in time. You don't have to wait till eternity. It's, you know, people say, well, I want the fish in the dish. I don't care about the pie in the sky. No, but I want my stuff now. Well, you can get your stuff now as a believer. And how do you do it? What are the conditions? The conditions, you have to learn the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. That's the condition. You got to put Bible doctrine in your soul. And when you start putting Bible doctrine in your soul, then the rewards are released to you in time. These aren't released to you until the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to study these in the next hour. But let's do the rewards for time, point 9 on page 566. There are two types of temporal rewards that are held on deposit in God's escrow account. First is spiritual blessings. Now, the spiritual blessings are important because they give you the capacity to enjoy the physical blessings. And so the spiritual blessings are far more important for you to get out of that escrow account. These are called the fruit of the Spirit. And they are, of course, the fruit of the Spirit are the problem-solving devices. What are the problem-solving devices? You can look it up, or we'll go that way again. These are the rewards. We can list some of them. A grace orientation to life. That's a spiritual reward in time. A relaxed mental attitude. Wouldn't that be nice to have, a relaxed mental attitude? Wow, nothing can get under my skin. That's using agape and personal love. That's a reward. A personal sense of destiny. A lot of people, they don't know who the hell they are, where they're going, or what they are. Are they up or are they down? You know you have a personal sense of destiny. You know why you're here. You know that God has a plan for your life to reach maturity, and that's why you're here. Doesn't matter if you're a lawyer, a doctor, or an Indian chief. Irrelevant. Or a plumber. Or a roofer. Doesn't matter what you do. It's what you are. That's what matters. So you have these spiritual blessings. Personal sense of destiny. A relaxed mental attitude, grace orientation to life. Ooh, that's a good one. These are important things to have. And then the second category, of course, are the things we could all name. I want good friends. I want a good spouse. I want money in the bank. I want a wonderful hobby. You know, if I sat down and say, hey, write down all the stuff you want. Well, everybody can write down stuff they want. Got a bad case of the wants. I want to be a success in the community. I want to be this. I want to be that. Okay, that's fine. That's legitimate stuff. As Jesus said in the Gospels, he said, I know you want all this stuff, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I'll give it all to you. Remember, he's the escrow officer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Dude, you better study Bible doctrine. Because the irony is, even if God gives you all the stuff you want, won't make you happy because you have no capacity to enjoy it. You've got to have the spiritual blessings to have the capacity to enjoy the physical blessings. King Solomon, for example, he had it all. Wine, women, song, dancing, whatever it was. Miserable. Totally miserable. And you might know rich people that are not happy people. And if you talk to them, why are you so unhappy? It seems to be you have too much money. Money makes you unhappy. I can help out with that. Want to give me some? Well, they don't want to do that either. They're not happy. And some of these Hollywood types, they just kill themselves. You know, dude, why would you kill yourself? Got it all. Got the house in Beverly Hills and whatever it is you can think of, and you're not happy. Wow. They have no capacity. And you as a believer, if you don't build capacity, you can get all these wonderful things. Not going to do you any good. And then all believers, point 10, have a certain amount of logistical support rewards. Even if you're a loser believer, God does give you, because you're his child, a certain amount of benefits above and beyond the unbeliever. And point 11, confidence and rewards. The winner believer is the positive volition believer that fulfilled the command of God to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. There's your orders. What does God want me to do? Read that. That's why I put it in bold. Grow in the grace and knowledge, gnosis, knowledge. Not doing stuff, knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowledge. Know God. Know his word. You know his word, you know God. If you say you love Jesus, you don't know about anything about God, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. There's your marching orders as a Christian. You ever wonder, what does God want me to do? There it is right there. There's your marching orders. Reaching maturity, he has confidence at the judgment seat of Christ that he will receive some level of rewards. Indeed, having already experienced fantastic temporary rewards, he believes God's word that Christ also gives eternal rewards to those who are faithful to the word. And you will hear this phrase, Matthew 25:23, well done, good and faithful slave, servant. That's what you want to hear at the judgment seat of Christ in your resurrection body. He will evaluate your life and say, well done, my good and faithful slave. You've been faithful in a little thing. I will make you rulers over vast things. I'm paraphrasing, but you can read the verse for yourself. That's what it says. What's the little thing you've been faithful in? Learning the mind of Christ. Going to Bible class and learning. And growing to maturity. That's what it's all about. And there are many, many verses on that. And I quote some of these for you. You can read those for yourself. Well, let's look at Matthew 5:11-12, at the bottom of page 567. Blessed are you, this is the positive volition believer, when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. What is me? This applies to you today. Jesus is not here in the flesh anymore. Because you take a stand for Bible doctrine. If you take a stand for learning grace and Bible doctrine, the world will hate you. Your fellow believers will hate you. Why are you doing that? You're supposed to be out saving the world. See, they hate sitting down and learning about Christ. They want to do something. They want to do something, and they will hate you. The world hates grace. They hate it. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Yes, everybody that likes to learn Bible doctrine, the world will hate you, and you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. And then point 12, and then we'll stop. There is the ashamed loser. So at the judgment seat of Christ, we've already established you're going to get rewarded or not rewarded. The vast majority of believers will have no rewards. They'll be losers, and they'll be ashamed. These are called loser believers. Again, you can't lose your salvation, but they refuse to grow to maturity. They will be temporarily ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ when they have to give an account for what they did with the time on earth that God gave them. Lots of verses. Philippians 1:20, Philippians 3:18 to 19, 2 Timothy 2:15, 1 John 2:28, Revelation 3:18, many other verses. But see, at the judgment seat of Christ, for the first time, they will fully realize that they wasted their lives and were under the Aramaic curse, Anamathia Maranatha, which means you're devoted to destruction until Christ returns. And many of these believers will have died the sin unto death. Nevertheless, the shame for these loser believers is short-lived and will not extend into eternity, where they will rejoice in grace. For the first time, they'll realize what grace is all about. And they'll realize, as I've often said, they'll realize they pissed their life away. They did not do what God told them to do. They did what they wanted to do and what the devil wants them to do to get involved in the world. Hebrews 10:35 to 36, therefore, do not throw away. That's apobalo, which means to cast away with force as worthless your confidence in Bible doctrine. Do not, once you learn Bible doctrine, don't cast that away as worthless, because that has great reward, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, hupomeno, which means steadfastness. Keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. What was promised? These rewards in the second category, eternal rewards. You will get those rewards. Do not cast away your Bible doctrine, because you talk about things that are worthwhile in this world. That's the one thing that can carry you into eternity with rewards beyond your imagination that will go on and on and on and on. And you, what did you do? What did you do with this gold, silver, and diamonds and precious stones? You cast it all away. You don't want it. Instead, you embraced wood, hay, and straw. That's what you wanted. Hebrews 10:39, but we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. That means they have their soul is going to be persevered. Persevering is peripoiesis, which means possession of one's own property. Well, what's the property? This is yours. Your name's up here. Now, what about these loser believers? They got nothing here and nothing there. Well, they can go to the Hall of Records in eternity, and they can go that big, behind the glass, you can see what you could have had. Boy, that would really be bad, wouldn't it? You go to the Hall of Records and you see your name right there. That's the stuff I could have had. Dude, I could have had all that in time and eternity. I could have had all that, and I got nothing. But God keeps it in the Hall of Records for all eternity as a memorial to the grace of God. Why? Well, it's proof. This is proof that God wanted you to get all this stuff. He put it in the will, in the escrow. It's there. All you had to do is to fulfill the conditions of the escrow and do what you're told to do. Faithful in a little thing, you would have had it all. And you can say to yourself, what a jackass I was. But see, it's not too late. It's like one of those Ebenezer Scrooge things. Am I still alive? It's not too late. You're not dead yet. If you're still alive, you can still get every single penny out of the eternal rewards, and a lot of them at a time. A lot of them. You can have a fantastic life in time and a life beyond your imagination in eternity. Not too late. It's up to you. You know what God wants? Because if God didn't want this, he wouldn't set it up. So no believer can say, well, God, you didn't have these things for me. You just had it for the ones that you predestined, the ones that were positive. And God said, no, I had it for you. Go to the Hall of Records. There's your name right there. There's all the stuff you could have had. You get nothing. I didn't do it. You did it. You did it to yourself. My desire is to give it all to you and to prove I put it all in an account. Same with the unbeliever. Christ died on the cross for the sins of every human that ever lived. If he just died for the sins of the believers, the ones that God knew would be saved, probably take 5 minutes. Wouldn't take 3 hours, maybe 10 minutes. But it took a full 3 hours, because the unbeliever likewise cannot say, you didn't die for my sins. I was predestined to hell. No, you weren't. It's called unlimited atonement. Christ died for the sins of those he knew would say no. And so, therefore, they will stand before a judgment seat of, they will stand before the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. You stand before the judgment seat of Christ for believers only. Unbelievers will go to another judgment seat called the white throne judgment. And there, Christ will say, I died for your sins. No one goes to hell for their sins. That would be double jeopardy. You know that in law school, right? You can't be tried twice. The sin issue is taken off the table for every human. The reason they go to hell is because they don't have God's righteousness. They wanted to work human good to get to heaven. No one goes to hell for their sins. No one. That would be double jeopardy. Christ died for the sins of the people that would reject him. They go to hell because they rejected him. They rejected grace. And it said they substituted human good to get saved. Just like the believer. They reject God's good. They substitute their human good to impress God. Not impressed. Isaiah chapter 64 says, when you use your good works to impress me, they're like filthy rags in my eyes. Not impressed. God's only impressed with God. God's impressed when he looks into your soul and says, oh, you learned all that stuff. And you did it in 3 years. I'm really impressed. You can get to maturity in less than 3 years if you stick at it. How do I know that? Because Jesus expected his disciples to get to maturity after 3 years of Bible class. None of them did. Well, you can do it. But once you get to maturity, well, you got another 40 years to go. Now what do? Stand fast. Philippians 4, 1. Don't go back because you will be tested. As you saw on page, you get a lot of tests. And you'll be a testament to the glory of God, page 562. You could test. God has a purpose for you. You're a light in the world. The world is dark. It's evil. Now you know what evil is. You already knew it, but now you've relearned it. The world is awash with evil. But see, most of them think evil is good. And it's evil. It's absolute evil. Now, don't get me wrong. As Christians, we should be good citizens. But see, we know that, yes, we're kind to old people. We pay our taxes. We do all those good things. We're good model citizens, but we don't delude ourselves. We know that that being a good citizen does not put Bible doctrine in our brains at all. It just means you're a good citizen. It's not a vehicle for you to reach maturity at all. So I encourage you to be a good person. Pick up trash at St. Mary's. You know, if you want to join the Social Justice Club, have a nice time. But you know, and I know, that don't put Bible doctrine in your soul. In fact, if you're not careful, you can start sucking in the doctrine of demons, which is called mataiotes in the Greek. You're sucking in the cosmic system. So you always got to be on your guard. Don't get all excited with, oh, I did such a good thing today. I helped some old lady change her tire. Whoop-de-doo. If you weren't in fellowship here, it's not agathos. If you were here at the time you changed your tire, it's all wood, hay, and stubble burned up. Doesn't mean a thing. But if you're in fellowship, everything you do is divine good. That's the little points. The big points is when you start learning Bible doctrine and applying it to life. So yes, the ashamed believer will be ashamed, but he will not lose their salvation. So we will stop here. We'll pick up with parables of rewards at point 13 on our next Bible class, which will be next Sunday, because I will not be here on Tuesday, and Justin will put out that message. With our head bowed, our eyes closed, Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your holy word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us by these things in Christ's name. Amen.